A rather little talked about Christian holiday. I mean, you know, Christmas and Easter, the big ones, we know those. And I bet if we were to do some random test, we could come up with a couple others, like Pentecost or, you know, a few other, you know, other ones too. But Christ the King Sunday generally doesn't make it on the list of everyone's favorite Christian holidays. Most folks don't realize that there's actually a Christian calendar. There's a calendar that we watch and work through that helps guide us through our Christian life together. It drives our worship and lots of other pieces of what it is to be Christian community. The Christian year begins with Advent, the celebration and anticipation of the coming Christ. Advent leads us then to Christmas, which is a moment and season all itself on Christmas Day and for the 12 days following, when we celebrate the arrival of Jesus into the world in that little manger in Bethlehem. And then, following Christmas, we celebrate Epiphany, a time of celebrating Christ's arrival, begun with the arrival of the Magi and the gifts at the stable, and leading into the months afterwards as we delve into Christ's life and work in the world. You know, we spend a good amount of our year focused on Bethlehem as a Christian community. Really, the Christian year has two main focal points. First, we focus on Bethlehem throughout Advent and Christmas, and then we move and we turn. And that moment happens on Ash Wednesday. On Ash Wednesday, another special moment in the Christian year, we turn our focus from this little manger in Bethlehem to the cross at Calvary. It's a 180-degree turn, completely changing the focus of our Christian year. Because Ash Wednesday then begins Lent. And Lent is the season of reflection on Christ's preparation for his own death. And then, towards the end of Lent, we have Holy Week, with Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday, which leads us, of course, to Easter. And then we have Easter, which is, again, its own moment and celebration. And after Easter, though, we move into this season we call Eastertide, a time of celebrating Christ's resurrection and how the work of Christ is still active in the community around us. And then about 50 days after Easter, throughout Eastertide, we come to a day of Pentecost, which we celebrate the birthday of the church. It's the day we celebrate the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And then we enter what is the longest stretch of the Christian calendar, Kingdom Tide. It's also called Ordinary Time. What a name, huh? Hey, let's go to church and celebrate Ordinary Time. Not exactly a marketing phrase there. Now, I appreciate you sort of bearing with me as we move through this. This, for some of you, may be about as exciting as me reading you the months of the year. But this is actually a part of our life together, and the way you might most often experience it is in actually the changing of the colors. For many, many weeks, and again, it's at that ordinary time, we had the green hanging. It's subtle. Many of you may not have noticed, but the green is gone today and the white is here as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. My stole is adorned with both the cross and the crown as we celebrate that moment. And then, and you got to love how efficient this is, we move from the green to, look, it's on the other side, the purple of Christmas. They have these things ready for us to go so that we can mark and move the time. And the idea was, even if the minister isn't standing up here boring you with all of the names of these seasons, you might notice the change of the seasons with the colors and the movement of the year. All of these different seasons are a part of helping us move through the year together. These colors mark things, and at the end of this very long green season, we come to this day we call Christ the King Sunday. In fact, really, in the Christian year, Christ the King Sunday is like New Year's Eve. It's our own little Christian New Year's right in this moment. Because next week begins Advent and a whole new Christian year. So this week, we celebrate the Christian year that is just finished. From the birth to the teachings to the death and resurrection to the body of Christ living out in the world through God's presence in the Spirit. And just like each new calendar year brings with it 12 more months, the next Christian year will bring with it the exact same seasons. I don't want to give too much away, but we'll spend a month anticipating Jesus being born, and guess what? He will be. And then we'll reflect on his life and teachings, and we'll learn, and Jesus will teach us things. And then we get to Lent, and again, we'll spend 40 days plus the Sundays reflecting on the life of Jesus, and then he'll die. But after 3 days, he's going to come back. I'm giving it all away. Okay. Okay, maybe there isn't that much to give away. I mean, it's a story we know. You know, perhaps the story of Jesus isn't about some sort of page-turning plot that keeps us up at night with a flashlight underneath the blanket as we're wondering what's going to happen next. For many of us, this is a story that we know and have heard before. And so we ask ourselves, how do we engage the story over and over again? I mean, are we all sitting here going, oh, I really hope that baby's born in Bethlehem. It's going to be weird if it's not. It's an interesting thing to go into the new year knowing how it's going to end and knowing it'll begin again. It makes me wonder, perhaps the story of Jesus isn't about some page-turning plot, but perhaps this story that we relive year after year, maybe it's trying to teach us something more than just what the story says. Each and every new year, on December 31st, we celebrate the end of something old and the beginning of something new with our calendar new year. Now, a lot of attention was paid to that last year because it went from 2011 to 2012. Remember that? I mean, New Year's often for a lot of people is about new challenges and new opportunities and second chances and making resolutions to work out more. But this last New Year's, we've been living 11 and a half months into what people told us could easily be the end of the world. Do you remember this? You're going to start hearing a lot more about it in the next 3.5 weeks because in case you haven't marked your calendars, December 21st is the end of the world. So go ahead and circle that date. I'd say put off the bills till December 22nd. Just in case. You know, I mean, here are these proclamations of volcanoes and earthquakes and meteors and plagues and the magnetic poles of the earth shifting and the planets aligning and the worlds colliding into the sun and some sort of black hole that might form. Oh, it's all sorts of interesting. If you're looking for a way to spend your afternoon, Google 2012 end of the world. No, don't. But, you know, there have been movies, there have been books and blogs and TV specials. 2012 has carried this abnormal level of doomsday attention. And it's something we'll continue to hear ramping up as we get closer and closer to it. Many have made the claim that this is the end of the world because it ties into the Mayan calendar. Now, people love to make proclamations about the end of the world. I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's something lots of different random religious groups love to do. They make it over and over and over and over again. Because, you know, if you're right at least once, but I've never really understood what happens if you're right about predicting the end of the world. Who sits around and says, good work on that one. But as we move towards this, you look at this Mayan calendar that says the calendar ends and so the world is ending. And then you add in this media hype and this overhyped, misunderstood, hysterical noise. And oh man, it gets crazy. Interestingly enough, it's not just the Mayan calendar that talks about things like the end of the world. Our own Christian scriptures contain literature that talks about the end of the world. Now, where I and most of the scholars that I spend time with would tell us that these stories are metaphors and they're literary hyperbole, the same hype can easily be built around the book of Daniel, or more commonly, the book of Revelation. So to get a grip on this 2012 conversation, when people start talking about the Christian scriptures and the end of the world, I like to go to the book and say, well, let's look at what it really says. So I decided with this whole end of the world 2012 thing, I should get as close to the source as possible. And so a couple years ago, I was in Guatemala, building a school and a home and doing some mission work. And while I was in Guatemala, I thought it would be a great time to talk about the Mayan calendar and the end of the world, being that Guatemala, a center place of where many, many Mayan descendants live. And so I spent some time talking with a few of the Mayan religious leaders in the neighborhood there, and we got chatting, and so I asked him, I said, what's up with 2012? Then the translator somehow made that translate. And their answer, after they spent a little bit of time mocking North American sensationalism, which also was interesting to hear through a translator, this Mayan religious leader looks at me and says, look, the old will come to an end, and something new will begin. That's the answer. And I said, oh, much like our New Year's is every single year. And this Mayan religious leader looks at me and through a translator says, isn't that how every day is supposed to be for Christian people? The old will come to an end and something new will begin. You know, we hear it in our scriptures. We do. In Isaiah, we hear, I am about to do a new thing, says the Lord. It springs forth. Do you not see it? Or in the book of Revelation, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among the people. God will dwell with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Our God is a God who creates and recreates over and over again. Something old has passed and something new is beginning. Isn't that how it's supposed to be every day for Christian people? New beginnings are God's thing. That's an important thing for us to know. I mean, think about Jesus. As we celebrate this Christ the King Sunday, anybody who came to know Jesus left different. They were created anew. Even those who took issue with him and weren't looking to be changed were, because he pushed back. And when people push back, it challenges you. You grow and new ideas form, and new relationships and new worldviews are brought into who we are. Our God is a God of new beginnings. You know, if they were open to it, people who came to know Christ as king even had to understand the word king in a new way. Not some person that sits on a throne mandating, dictating, telling you how it is, but a person who served alongside with you, a person who would heal and bring life, a person who cherished the smallest and humbled those who thought they were big. Even Christ as king was a new understanding. Maybe this is what we can see in this Christian year that comes and goes and comes and goes. Every time we know how it's going to start, yay, the baby. And every year we know, oh, he's going to die. And every year we know he's going to come back to life. Maybe the reason it happens over and over and over is to help us finally realize that God is a God of new beginnings. That there is always a moment of new beginning in our lives. Even if we think we know where things are going, God can change it. No matter how many times we've gone through the motions before, no matter how many times we might have failed, no matter anything, the promise of God's love is that the old will pass away and something new will begin. This is our hope for the first day of this new Christian year. Just as it should be our hope of each and every moment of our lives, that the old might pass away, that something new might begin, that it might be the end of the world as we know it, for God is about to do a new thing.